Geopolitical tensions are escalating, inflation is raging despite what they say. Stocks are sinking, debt is rising, and your own financial future isn't looking too clever. Yet gold endures crisis. Wars, disasters, no calamity has beaten gold. While paper assets crash and burn, gold endures. You need to take a fresh look at gold steadying your portfolio. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with new IRAs this month. Help shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Dr. Pierre Corey to address the white lung syndrome. What is the truth? Is there a new virus that is raging through the land? And Alex Epstein talks about global warming, climate change, and the lies of the green Marxists. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's most important organization in the country, at tpusa.com. Join our movement and attend America Fest. That's amfest.com, A-M-F-E-S-T.com, amfest.com. Get your tickets right now. Tucker Carlson, Patrick Bet-David, Candace Owens, Glenn Beck, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Allie B. Stuckey, Tim Pool, James O'Keefe, Jonathan Isaac, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Michael Anton, Jason Whitlock, Steve Bannon, Vivek Ramaswamy, amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Alex, welcome back to the program. For our audience that isn't covering it carefully or closely, what is COP28 and the news made in the last couple of days?
Okay, so COP28 stands for Conference of the Parties of the United Nations Framework Concerning Climate Change. And essentially, this is the organization that leads global policy every year. So this is where the Paris Climate Agreement was formed. And every year they basically get together and they say, how can we eliminate fossil fuels faster? And every year they're very frustrated because even though they have restricted fossil fuels, they've done a lot of damage. They've helped create a global energy crisis by creating shortages of fossil fuels. They always think they haven't done enough. And so this year, once again, they're saying, hey, how do we rapidly eliminate fossil fuels to, quote, save the climate? Not realizing that because fossil fuels are so amazingly beneficial overall, including to our safety from climate, that rapidly eliminating them just means destroying the world as we know it.
I want you to respond to Hillary Clinton here. You do a great job of this, Alex. Let's play cut 9. I want your response.
We're seeing and beginning to pay attention and to count and record the deaths that are related to climate. And by far, the biggest killer is extreme heat. We don't have that kind of number yet from Africa, Asia, Latin America, but we know and estimate that we probably could measure about 500,000 deaths. And the majority of those are women and girls, and particularly pregnant women.
Your response, Alex.
I don't know what she means we're beginning to measure. We've been measuring climate-related disaster deaths for, I mean, we have 100 years plus of data, and it's unequivocally clear that the rate of disaster death, so from storms and floods and extreme temperatures, has gone down by a factor of 50. So it's a 98% decline. So fossil fuels haven't taken a safe climate and made it dangerous. They've taken a dangerous climate and made it safe. Now, even with heat-related deaths, the biggest climate killer is actually cold-related deaths by a factor of 7 or 8. So she's just making stuff up. And then in terms of the women and girls, this is particularly perverse because fossil fuels have been the greatest liberator of women and girls. They actually allow people to have machines so that women aren't having drudgery all the time so they can get education. So this is an exactly backwards narrative by somebody who's just totally ignorant of the basic data that's publicly available.
I want to have you respond here to John Kerry. Is this the hottest year in human history that we've ever measured? Play cut 8. Alex, your response.
Last summer, it was 70 degrees Fahrenheit above normal in the Arctic. It was 100 degrees Fahrenheit above normal in the Antarctic. So I'm not going to say more about it, except to say that if we can't hear Mother Nature and can't judge with our own eyes what the science is telling us. This is not about politics. There's no ideology. There's no pejorative against any one business or any approach. There is simply mathematics and physics and some chemistry and biology. That is what we are acting on.
Wow. Mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology. What is he missing? Your response to John Kerry. Take your time. Walk through it.
Sure. So, well, let's just deal with that issue of 100 degrees above average or whatever he said. And it's like, oh, I'm just telling you the science. No, it obviously wasn't 100 degrees above average in general. What he's taking is a high data point and then comparing that to the average in an area with very high variability of temperature. So that's just meaningless. So let's just talk about this issue of, is it the hottest year ever for humans and what's the significance? And the fact is, we do not have good records for the vast, vast majority of human history. We have semi-decent records going back 150 years. We have regional records showing in the past in different, in certain places that it was considerably warmer in the past. We don't have good global records. I mean, what would that mean going 10,000 years ago? We don't have annual records going 10,000 years ago. So it's a pretty meaningless statement to just say, yeah, it's one of the warmer years in the last 150 years. And that shouldn't be surprising because 300 years ago, we began a warming period without fossil fuels. And I do believe fossil fuels have some warming impact. The question is that a problem? And I would say no, in a world where far more people die of cold than of heat. It's not a problem that it's getting a little bit warmer. And the energy we get from fossil fuels, as I've said and proven, has made us far safer from climate. So fossil fuels are not a climate villain. They're a climate hero. And Kerry doesn't know how to think about this issue. So all he does is look for negative side effects of fossil fuels and not benefits. And that leads you to terrible decisions. And just by saying math and science, which, by the way, he knows nothing about, that's just sophistry camouflaging that he's not thinking about the issue in the most basically logical way.
So the kind of climate alarmism that exists is obviously about eliminating fossil fuels and abolishing any sort of advantage the Western world enjoys. What is the driver of that? I think it's, and I know you agree, it is a pursuit to Marxism and totalitarianism using climate as a means. Your thoughts, Alex?
I think that that's part of it. I mean, I think there is at least two components, and I talk about this a lot in my book, Fossil Future, particularly Chapter 3. I talk about the motives of this, and I think it's actually deeper than Marxism, although that's an element of it. I think it's a deep anti-humanism, the belief that human impact is bad and should be eliminated. Just look at how we think of climate. We just think any human change to climate is evil, and therefore our number one priority should be to eliminate it. And that's why you have this crazy campaign to rapidly eliminate fossil fuels that billions of people need. We have no near-term replacement for. We're in a world where 3 billion people use less electricity than a typical American refrigerator. And the world is saying, let's get off fossil fuels as quickly as possible. So they really worship an unimpacted climate like a god, and they're sacrificing us to that. And it's a broader view just that human impact is bad and our top priority should be to eliminate it. Now, in terms of Marxism and communism and more broadly statism, it's a dream come true for statists to have a villain that applies to everyone. So if CO2 is the villain, if climate change, so-called, is the villain from fossil fuels, that means they have the right to regulate every aspect of life. It's kind of like with COVID. Some people loved the idea of a virus that anyone could carry and you could treat anyone as guilty until proven innocent because it allowed unlimited statism. And it's a similar dynamic for climate stuff.
So let's play another piece of tape here. I'd like your reaction. Kamala Harris in Dubai talking about taxpayer dollars they spent on climate resilience and renewable energy. Play cut 6.
As Vice President, I have partnered with Caribbean leaders, including Prime Minister Terence Drew and Mia Motley and others, to launch a new initiative to build climate resilience and renewable energy for island nations. Earlier this year, I was proud to be in Zambia, where we secured $7 billion in private sector investment for initiatives such as climate smart agriculture and renewable energy projects across the continent of Africa.
Alex, your response to Kamala Harris?
My response is you are doing an incredible disservice to those people. We know how to get climate resilience. We know how to get development, and that's by freedom and fossil fuels. Look how Singapore became basically the wealthiest place in the world. They use 99% fossil fuels. Look how China, look how India, look how Japan, look how South Korea, they all developed using fossil fuels. As I've said, we're safer than ever from climate. We're incredibly climate resilient with fossil fuels. So how can you be, when you talk about Zambia and the Caribbean, but particularly Zambia, these poor places, they need development as quickly as possible. You need to get the hell out of their way instead of telling them to do these ridiculous climate smart things that nobody has ever developed from, and nobody probably ever will develop from. So it's just pure regression. They're in stagnation. They're telling the poorest nations in the world in the name of this climate worship to stagnate and regress, and it's really sickening.
Alex Epstein, your book, plug it for our audience. Also, you have a new AI project. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Fossil Future, check that out. Also, check out energytalkingpoints.com, which you can actually subscribe to at alexepstein.substack.com. And yeah, as part of that, if you're a premium subscriber, you get access to something called Alex AI, which people can see for free if you search Alex AI or Alex GPT on the App Store. We're going to publicly release it in a couple weeks, but this answers every energy, environmental, and climate question as me. And you're going to see it soon on Twitter because it can actually respond to every anti-fossil fuel, every anti-energy freedom tweet immediately. So in a couple weeks, you're going to see a really rational presence on Twitter.
Are you tired of playing defense with your kids' entertainment? Today, kids can't walk into the library or turn on the TV without seeing progressive agendas everywhere. That's why we love Sherwood. It is an ad-free, wholesome kids' entertainment platform that shares your values. On Sherwood, your kids can read or listen to audiobooks and watch shows without fear of what woke ideology might pop up. Sherwood is a wholesome entertainment platform with a library of audiobooks, ebooks, and videos, all with characters that model the behavior that you'd actually like to see in your children. From classics like The Velveteen Rabbit and Treasure Island, one of my favorites, to timeless cartoons and other entertaining content, our family uses Sherwood and they love it. A lifetime subscription to Sherwood is usually $750, but this month you can get a lifetime subscription for just $299 using promo code Charlie. Sign up for Sherwood today and take back control over the stories that are shaping your children at SherwoodKids.com. So, Alex, I'm going to do my best here to repeat some of the arguments I hear on campus. You're the expert on how to refute this. So it will be some kind of variety of this. An activist on campus will say, Charlie, why are you standing against the experts? The scientific consensus supposedly supports radical anti-carbon activism and divestment, and climate change is obviously man-made. Why do you stand against the experts? 99% of scientists agree.
Oh, by the way, just as a reminder, anyone can go to energytalkingpoints.com, search like 97%, so you can find this stuff there in case you don't have me, but you have me now. So yeah, this is an easy one. The 97% consensus, insofar as it exists, is a consensus that we have some warming impact. That's not the same as a catastrophic warming impact, and it's not the same as an impact that justifies depriving billions of people of the benefits of fossil fuels, including all the climate benefits that make us far safer from climate.
So then I guess the question I would have, or how to respond, and I guess we can go to your website, is how can you not know if climate change is happening? I guess they get into the idea of the solution, existential threat. You know, are we willing to concede that some of the rising global temperature is man-made?
Well, yeah, I think that some. I don't think it can be quantified precisely. But so the framing of this is wrong. What we care about is climate livability and avoiding climate danger. We don't care about preserving the exact climate that existed in 1800. Why would you think that was the perfect climate? People didn't think it was the perfect climate then. They thought it was too cold because it was a cold period. You know, we had a little ice age. So we have the most livable climate ever because we've had fairly minor changes in climate, and we've had an enormous increase in our ability to protect ourselves from climate. So I think people need to factor in the benefits of energy when they think of climate, just like you would logically. Charlie, can you think of anyone, even a climate activist, who would rather live in the climate of 1900 versus today? I don't think so, because that was an incredibly deadly climate, even though it was supposedly less changed by us.
Yeah, and I guess that gets to the fundamental thing is human beings being a pollutant on the earth. That is kind of the moral
yes.
question underneath, correct?
Yeah, so the underlying assumption here is that all human impact is immoral, and then there's a further assumption that human impact is necessarily catastrophically self-destructive. This is why you get all these false catastrophe predictions, because they just think anytime we impact Earth, it must be bad. We're these parasite polluters, as I describe it in Fossil Future, but we're actually producer improvers. Our actions, our activities make the Earth a better place for us, as well as for many other species. And we make the world better. We should embrace that. We should keep doing it more and more intelligently. But to act like we've destroyed the climate when we've actually neutralized so much of its danger and made the world much better, we shouldn't be guilty about that. And the fact that something comes from humans doesn't make it bad. If anything, we should assume it's good because we are humans and we should be proud of that.
So you have these seven truths about our climate and energy future. You have this phrase that I like, energy poor. Elaborate on this idea of energy poor. Given the vast majority of the world is energy poor, the world needs far more energy as quickly as possible.
If you think about in America, why are we so productive and prosperous? Because we have machines doing way more work than we do. The average American has the equivalent of 75 people's worth of machines. You can think of it as like 75 machine servants. We can only do that because we have energy that's low cost and reliable and versatile, powering every type of machine and scalable to a lot of people. So most of the world has very little machine labor working for them. So if you look at places I mentioned, we have 3 billion people using less electricity than a typical American refrigerator does. We have a third of the world using wood and animal dung. We have 6 billion people who use about a third or less of what we do. So we would consider that totally unacceptable. So yeah, the world is energy poor, and you cannot be rich without being energy rich.
The final one, how would you respond when people say that the rate of warming we've not seen in the past 10,000 years? The Earth is getting so much warmer, and it's so troubling. How would you respond to that?
So again, we don't have good annual records going back very far. So the thing is, we've had about 1 degree Celsius, 2 degrees Fahrenheit in about 100 years in a world that in which far more people die from cold than from heat. If you look at the range of hypothetical warming that we could experience, and I talk about this in Chapter 9 of Fossil Future, you can also see it on energytalkingpoints.com, like even in the extreme warming scenarios, we'll be totally fine, and probably still more people will die from cold than from heat. So the key thing here is there's this anti-human bias that says that if we impact things, it must be evil, it must be self-destructive, and that's really what I'm at war against. I want a pro-human way of thinking about these issues. When you look at the science and the economics from a pro-human perspective, it's very positive for fossil fuels.
Alex, thank you so much. We'll have you on it soon. Everyone check out his wonderful website, energytalkingpoints.com, and his books are terrific. Alex, thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
With the world quickly descending into chaos, the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it's another pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option, it's a necessity. That's where the wellness company comes in. From something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID, to the next bioweapon manufactured in a lab, the wellness company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pak, and more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the use of these life-saving medications. The wellness company and their doctors, including Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew Pinsky, and Dr. Robert Seek, and more, are medical professionals that you can trust. Rest assured knowing that you're ready for whatever the globalists throw at us next. To order this kit, which I use and I have ready at disposal, everybody, I'm not here to give medical advice, but it is the gold standard, twc.health/charlie. That is twc.health/charlie. Enter promo code CHARLIE for 10% off. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, Z-Pak, and more. The wellness company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals. You could trust their medical emergency kits. They are the gold standard to keep you safe. Again, that is twc.health/charlie. Promo code CHARLIE for 10% off. See site for details. Prescription may be required. Again, ivermectin, emergency antibiotics. There's all sorts of nonsense going around right now. COVID, RSV, flu. Go to twc.health/charlie. Promo code CHARLIE. Wellness company and their doctors. Check it out. See site for details. Joining us now is Dr. Pierre Corey, who is an American hero and stood up against the cartel, the pharmaceutical industrial complex. Dr. Corey, thank you for taking the time. Several topics I want to cover. I want to start with the first one, that to an untrained eye, you would think that there is a new virus that is emerging and hitting children, especially in America. Some people are calling it white lung syndrome. What is the truth here?
Yeah, I mean, from the data that I've seen and the reports that I've reviewed, I mean, what seems to be happening in China is something that really happened here last year. I mean, last year in the fall, early winter season, we saw this huge surge in RSV and flu, which we hadn't seen before. And I think they're seeing the same in China, but they're also seeing mycoplasma, which is actually a bacterial infection. And so they're seeing this sudden surge in cases of respiratory illnesses. I don't think this is a new unidentified pathogen. Charlie, if this was a new virus or a new bacteria or something weird that was coming on, like, I hate to say it, a new bioweapon, we have sophisticated technology that could identify what it is and what its characteristics are. This is really just a surge in respiratory illnesses. Now, I'll ask the question for you, Charlie, but you know, why would this be happening in China right now? Couple of reasons. China had the longest of lockdowns. I mean, theirs only ended, I believe, last January. So this is like kind of the first fall winter season that they're seeing after lockdowns. That's probably driving a lot of this new exposure to vaccines. But the more important thing, Charlie, is it's the mass. This is in the wake of a mass vaccination campaign against a respiratory virus. We have data going back a long time, for instance, around the flu vaccine. When you get vaccinated for the flu, your risk of other respiratory illnesses grows. And we've mass vaccinated the planet against one respiratory virus. And now we're seeing this huge rise in other respiratory viruses. And I think it's not unexpected. So I think it's two things. It's the prolonged lockdowns with the fact that now you have a population that was mass vaccinated against a respiratory virus. And they're now succumbing to others.
Is it conceivable that the vaccine has suppressed immunity, meaning it makes it harder for a person to be able to create antibodies and have a robust immune system? Is there any data to suggest that, especially the mRNA shot?
It's not just conceivable, Charlie. It's the reality. Immunologists, virologists, vaccinologists know this. I mean, especially around this COVID vaccine, it induces several forms of immunosuppression, and it also kind of trains the immune system to direct against a certain a virus and not others. And so it's altered immune systems that are leaving you at higher risk of other infections. There's not even a question about it.
So the media, I will say that the CDC has come out and they say, we don't see a new pathogen. You know, this is not necessarily out of the ordinary. RSV and pneumonia and flu and COVID are going up slightly. And I guess the question in front of us, they're already pushing. I mean, this Travis Kelce commercial is ridiculous. You know, you can get, you could get two shots in one. And are we creating this almost vaccine dependent, you know, society where our immune system is so suppressed that it's not about losing weight, vitamin D, any of that stuff. And I'm afraid it's creating a permanently sicker type society. And it's also getting into pediatric circles where they're now pushing the COVID shot for my one-year-old. I said, what on earth is this? I mean, this is what planet is this acceptable, Dr. Corey?
It's just not. It's hurting the overall health of our population, especially the young people. This monolithic, obsessive response to everything with a vaccine is not sound. I like that you just mentioned things like vitamin D and nutrition. I mean, there are much more sensible things that we can do that don't bring with it harms, that they're generally safe and bring about improvements to health. I mean, even if you believe that these vaccines against rapidly mutating respiratory viruses was a good idea, the downsides of them have to be considered. And there's a lot of downsides, and that's what we're talking about today. That's what we're seeing across the world. And what's happening in China has happened in many other countries. And like I gave you the example, it happened in the U.S. last year. I mean, my organization, right, the FLCCC, we came together and we put together a repurposed drug protocol for RSV and flu a year ago because of this massive surge that we saw coming out of the first 2 years of the COVID pandemic of those other viruses, which is not unexpected. And so you're right. The vaccine is a solution for everything infectious is just absurd. And what I think is really good about this discussion, Charlie, it's bringing to light the negative adverse consequences. Nobody's thinking about the secondary things. In medicine, you think about things that you always weigh benefits, risks, and alternatives. And these vaccines were presented as nothing but benefits constantly while always mitigating the risk. Well, now we're seeing a whole other set of risks beyond the ones you and I have already talked about.
Yeah, and I hate to be cynical, but I think that, Dr. Corey, you're on the same page. I don't get the impression from Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson that they want a healthy society. It's almost the sicker we are, the more money they stand to make. And regardless of the, you know, let's say lack of information, I have lost complete trust of the CDC, the NIH. I know you have too, in how you were covering ivermectin. I suppose the pharmaceutical companies look at people like, you know, just regular citizens as potential annuity lifetime type customers, that the more that they could suppress the immune system, the more money they can make from us. I am encouraged that there has been almost a revival in a health consciousness amongst the American citizenry. And I will say a lot of people aren't necessarily falling for this white lung syndrome thing. The China news had some people on edge, though, Dr. Corey, because obviously, you know, what we saw from the last roundabout. What, if anything, should we be on the lookout for? They're still pushing the booster. 86% of people not taking the booster. What booster are we on, by the way?
Charlie, I have to admit, I don't even know. I think I've heard of people that are on their sixth shot, but I can't say that I'm going to be accurate on it. But I like everything you just said. You know, one of the things I realize every time I get too cynical, I actually find out in retrospect that I'm still being naive. I mean, the complete capture of our public health agency by industry completely explains all of their policies, right? Which is just vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. And I like that you mentioned that people were on edge with this news out of China. But let me just say that's the third facet that I didn't talk about, right? So it's the effect of prolonged lockdowns, mass vaccination. And then let's go back to, I guess, the term that we use is fear porn, right? That actually, to me, this is as cynical as I can get. It's literally marketing by using fear to get people to show up for more vaccines. It's just vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. And that's where that cynicism comes in, because it's divorced from science. It's divorced from pragmatic, sound medical advice. It's already failed. We have numerous sources of data to show that it's failed, and yet they keep doing it. But I like that you said it has been met with a rise in an emphasis on health consciousness. I mean, the way I would summarize this, Charlie, is the system is broken. It's been captured. We cannot trust our agencies anymore because they're literally working in the service of a pharmaceutical industry. And we need to come up with different solutions. So I think what you're seeing, what I'm seeing, is a lot of people now taking more individual responsibility for their health and now looking to unconflicted sources, for instance, like my organization, where we don't sell anything, we don't take money to anything, we live off of donations, and we're just trying to give out sound, pragmatic, objective advice. And I think people have an appetite for that now more than they ever have.
Yeah, the game has totally changed post-COVID, and the pharmaceutical companies are kind of freaking out because a lot of their stocks are down. A lot of their money grab is down. They're doing everything they can to continue their propaganda campaign. What is the latest news out of New Zealand, doctor?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So I'll give you my take, because there's lots of different perspectives on what happened. But I've just spent the last couple of days. I'm actually in Europe right now. I was with Steve Kirsch. We testified in the UK Parliament yesterday. And so Steve and I got to talk over the last few days. So, you know, Steve was given access to this leaked data from New Zealand. And what's so unique about this is that this is the first what you would call patient level record data. You have the vaccination status. So we were, you know, what Steve was able to do with this data set is actually really track dates of vaccination, dates of death, rates of death according to batches. And it's a complete data set. Now, there have been many people, even sort of in our movement, the medical dissent movement, who've questioned, been skeptical on the data. I think there are limitations in the data, but the best analysis of this data is, number one, it fits completely with what we've seen from numerous other data sources in terms of the amount of mortality and deaths that it's causing. Number two, New Zealand has not denied that it was manipulated. They know it's leaked data. And their only concerns is that somehow we're going to betray, you know, that data is going to betray patient confidentiality. I will tell you, the whistleblower knew they were doing a sacrifice. They knew how much trouble they were going to get into. They did it anyway because they had a moral imperative to do it. And now they're in jail. They're in handcuffs. And they knew that was going to happen. They were willing to do it because they saw a really alarming signals from the data. And I think it's the most rigorous data, because all that we've seen, right? So life insurance industry data, we didn't have vaccination status. All we could do is correlate with vaccines, unprecedented levels of mortality. We saw it in epidemiology, death rate statistics across countries, how you saw it totally go correlated with vaccination campaigns. But here's a robust data set where you can actually drill down and see a patient's vaccination status, their date and their death rates. And you can compare it to regulars. And so it's probably one of the more compelling and robust data sets. It's still limited because we want more data. But can I just finish with this, Charlie? the main point of this whole story of New Zealand is that this is an example of public health agencies not releasing data. Every public health agency around the world should be releasing that data anonymized on vaccination status, mortality, and outcomes. They're not doing it. It took this man to be so brave to do it, and now look at him. He's in jail. And this shouldn't be a jailable offense. This should be routine public health practice, and they're not doing that anywhere.
Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine, NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH, compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. Don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something. But fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So Dr. Corey, I want to ask you, in your professional opinion, we see this story a lot. I know there's been a lot of reporting on it and a lot of speculation, but it just is a pattern that is not letting up, which is otherwise very healthy athletes that are just dropping inexplicably. We saw one, a University of Minnesota football player, University of Minnesota Duluth. I want to be very careful. I want to play devil's advocate. Are there any other possible explanations? Are we seeing an increase in this? Is this just pattern recognition bias, meaning we're just now seeing it more because we're expecting it? What's really going on here in your personal medical opinion? Confirmation bias, I mean. Dr. Corey.
What you're seeing is real. I mean, what you see before your eyes, first of all, should be real. It's presented as these rare idiosyncratic cases, but the data absolutely supports that. And the best data for that is the life insurance industry. There has been numerous articles, I've published some of them, looking at the Society of Actuary reports, and you're seeing these massive spikes in the healthiest strata of society historically that we've never seen before, unprecedented. So for instance, in the third quarter of 2021, you saw a rise, and I think it was between 25 and 44-year-olds, white collar employed 25 to 44-year-olds, you saw this massive rise in death claims in the group life and health insurance data. That's never been seen before. A 10% rise year to year, Charlie, is a 1 in 200-year event. A 38 to 40 to sometimes 60% rise in certain strata is unprecedented. So if you're wondering if these repeated newspaper reports of young people dying in their sleep, dying on ball fields, dying in athletic competitions is just like a one-off and a strange rare event, and that, you know, we're over-interpreting it, then someone needs to explain to me why that's totally supported in young people dying at rates that have never, ever been reported historically.
Yeah, and it's so sad because you see these otherwise very healthy people that are just dropping, and one after the other, and it's not isolated, and it seems to be a pattern. And we're willing to look at that pattern and ask a very simple question. Final thought here. Talk about, what does the data say about shedding, Dr. Corey?
Yeah, so that's a big topic, Charlie. So I wrote a long series of subtexts on that. What I will say is, with gene therapy products, of which these vaccines clearly are meeting FDA definitions of gene therapy products, they also fit into a category of what's called nanoparticle technology, right? So these were mRNA delivered in lipid nanoparticles. they are known to have a risk of shedding. There's FDA documents saying that shedding studies must be done, not only in humans, but in animals. There are other similar gene therapy products, which in their inserts say that there is a risk of shedding in secretions and dressings, you know, a week after the injection. We know with these vaccines, it can be weeks to months afterwards. And then there's just innumerable clinical evidence. I mean, I'm an expert. I treat patients who have long COVID and long vax. And we have a cohort of our patients who, when they're exposed to crowds or to certain other vaccinated people, their adverse effects get worse. Shedding is real. Luckily, I think it's restricted to a minority of very physiologically or environmentally sensitive people, but we don't have real good data on it. But I'll tell you, Charlie, there's a study coming out where they actually exposed 100 women who are unvaccinated to 100 vaccinated women, and they looked at an outcome, any changes or abnormalities in menstrual cycles, and because that is the most common shedding symptom, is women being exposed to others who are vaccinated. And that's going to be coming out soon. I can't tell you about the results, but it is at reaching the end of peer review, and I think it's going to be quite shocking when you find out what they found.
Dr. Corey, just plug your deal, a website, book for our audience, please. You do great work.
Yeah, so my nonprofit is flccc.net, and then my book is called The War on Ivermectin, The Medicine That Saved Millions and Could Have Ended the Pandemic. That can be found on Amazon. And then my private practice where I treat vaccine injury is drpierrecorey.com.
Very good. Dr. Corey, thank you so much. God bless you, and you're welcome back anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.